Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. Every field has its greatest people, the ones that everybody else admires. And in the field of afterlife studies, one of the genuine greats is Dr. Julia Asante. She's a medium and a scholar, and she's now based in Austria. Julia has a PhD from Columbia in Ancient Near Eastern Studies, and she has been a professional intuitive, medium, and past life therapist for more than 40 years. She has spent her career teaching at Columbia and Bryn Mawr in the United States, and at the University of, I hope I pronounce this correctly, Münster in Germany, and at other venues worldwide. Now she gives talks and workshops in Europe and in the United States on topics that include remote viewing, healing and medical intuition, life readings, past and future incarnation recall, after-death communication, and conscious death. Julia is also an ordained minister of the New Seminary of New York, which is an interfaith seminary founded by Rabbi Joseph Gelberman and Sri Swami Satchidananda. Julia's recent book is The Last Frontier, Exploring the Afterlife and Transforming Our Fear of Death. It won the Nautilus Gold Award in 2013 in the category of Death, Dying, and Grief, and Publishers Weekly hailed it as the most important book on the enigma of death since the groundbreaking work of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Wow, that's the best accolade I can think of. Actually, I think of my own book, The Fun of Dying, as kind of a basic education, and Julia's as the advanced course in just about everything. It's a wonderful book. Welcome, Julia. I'm so glad you're here.
Wow, Roberta, thank you so much.
It's fun to be talking. It's like almost midnight where you are, right?
Oh, it's one. It's 1:03, exactly, yes.
I hope that you have something there to keep you awake, maybe a cup of coffee, because this is going to be a wild ride. What Julia has written is an extraordinary book, and you'll see that as we talk about it. But it's more than just a book about death. It's a book about, because she's a medium, she's able to give us information that really people like me who are not mediums can't even access. So I've chosen some of the topics from her book that are not sort of commonplace when we talk about death. And I think you'll find this fascinating. But first, Julia, tell us a little bit about how you discovered that you had these gifts.
Oh, that was... I started having experiences at a very young age, but I didn't know what they meant. And then there was a period of dating where these guys would sort of get up from the table and call me a witch.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They don't do that sort of thing anymore. But yeah. Back in my day, it was
terrible.
Pretty embarrassing. I thought I was just clever. It took a long time for me to realize what that really was about. And it happened because of a psychic I went to, my first psychic, and I was knocked out by what she did. And I was determined to be able to think the way she thought. I understood that it wasn't analytic thinking. It was a holistic kind of thinking, something that I didn't know very much about. So for a whole year, I did what I called junking. I spent hours by myself in trance states. I had tremendous experiences. And then, Roberta, I did 100 free readings. And the day that I finally asked for money, this is back in the 70s, $20.
Wow.
I shook as if taking money would take away the skill.
So you were in contact with beings not in bodies, and you basically figured out how to do it in a way that was reliable and help others that way.
That's right.
Wow, good for you.
You know, a lot of people, especially in the States, like to separate intellect from so-called spirituality. I don't like the word spirituality because it says something about it being somewhere else, not here.
Right.
It divides us, and it's someplace we have to get to. But the intellect, actually, if it's it can be a wonderful aid to all of this. It can help analyze. So can the ego. It can help interpret. It can help you find words. It can challenge your intuition. It can structure it. So the two of them have worked very well together for a very long time. And I teach my students, I think you're right about that.
Yeah. I mean, you're right that we do tend to think in terms, I think it comes from the, you know, body, soul, and spirit and mind kind of separation that we have based probably right. religion. But it is, we have one mind, and that mind encompasses all of it, and it's who we really are. So very good point. So, all right, so you're starting to do this stuff. What made you get interested in studying the afterlife? Was it what you learned when you were doing these readings?
Oh, sure. I had tremendous amount of afterlife communication during those years. But then there was a spectacular one that happened while I was in graduate school. It went on for over an hour with this boyfriend who had recently died. And what impressed me the most about this was that he was clearly trying to get in contact for the last 10, 11 days after his death, and I avoided it. I don't usually do something like that, but I was in overwhelm from graduate school, from his death. And finally, I was standing in the kitchen, and I saw him there.
Wow.
You know, when people are newly dead, you really can see them, and they actually speak in words. And
yes.
Of course, he was larger than life, but he was in panic. His eyes were rolling. He couldn't communicate with anyone. No one could see him, perceive him in any way. And I stood there and I saw him, I heard him, and then these sparks came out of his body of relief and joy.
Wow.
And that's when I realized, not that I didn't have experiences before of people who were newly dead needing me, but to see this level of franticness, this panic. And for those 10, 11 days, I had all of the typical electronic phenomenon of the fax buzzing and
right.
nothing came through and the phone ringing and the New York City apartment door open in the morning. All of these things were occurring all the time. So I knew he was trying to get through. But the look on his face when he could.
Wow.
And people don't see that side, Roberta. They don't see that they sometimes need us, especially if the death was unexpected.
Wow. I recall this from your book. It's a wonderful account of your being able to, as you said, for an hour, being able to really have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
What a miracle that is. That's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And think of how many people are in his position and don't have someone they can come to.
That's right.
Who has these abilities.
That's right.
That was what I thought as I was reading this. I said, wow, lucky him. He knew you when he died. So he had someone to go to.
Roberta, I have to correct you on something that you said. You said you're not a medium. Of course you are.
I know.
Everyone is.
My favorite part of this book is chapter 16, and I want to spend some time on it because this is going to blow all our minds, and I think that's a very, very healthy thing. But you're right. I thought I was not a medium until I realized all my books had been channeled. That was a humiliating experience to realize that. But it was freeing in a way. It's not my book. He wrote it. So go
for it. Oh, yeah. Pass the responsibility off to someone else.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Julia Asante, who is one of the leading experts in this field. I think in part because she's a twofer. She's a very prominent scholarly afterlife expert, but she's also a brilliant medium. And she plays with her abilities in ways that are very helpful to other people. And we're going to talk about that sort of first. What I've done is to go through her book and pick up some things that we haven't talked about before on Seek Reality to try to give you some new ideas and new things to think about. But first, Julia, let's talk about what you just told me at the end of the last segment, which is everybody's psychic, Roberta. Of course you're psychic. Talk about that.
Well, you know, Roberta, if we didn't have these abilities, we wouldn't be able to construct a body. You know,
okay.
Telepathy is really anything that has to do with thought forms. We are basically thought forms. There's almost nothing solid to us.
Isn't that wonderful? What a great way to put it. So let's say that again, and so people understand it. If we didn't have these creative abilities with our minds, we would not be able to construct these bodies.
There would be no perception of any sort of communication or information flow. We would have no civilizations. There would no mother would be able to speak to her, to be with her child. And we wouldn't be able to construct a body because the body cells wouldn't be able to communicate.
That's wonderful. I just think that's so brilliant. Okay. All right. So everybody is, even people like me who have been fighting it our whole lives. There's an important corollary to that, which you say in your book, everybody can be in contact with the dead. And the reason I think this is important to talk about is I can't tell you how many times I hear from people every day. I'm hearing from people who just are desperate to be in contact with their loved ones. And they're like me, they're not psychic and they don't even get signs. They're kind of desperate. And what I love about your chapter 16, which is called How to Make Contact, it's the reason, by the way, to buy the book. If you buy it for no other reason, buy it for chapter 16. You show people in there how to go from being as clueless as I am to actually constructing a relationship with people that we used to think we would never be able to be relating to again. Can you sort of talk a little bit about that? I know there's too much in that chapter by far for you to impart at all, but if you could talk about it a little bit, that would give people a lot of hope.
I just need to say something first. One of the most successful groups are mothers who have lost a child. They seem to be able to get this rather quickly, and it changes their lives. It alleviates or turns their grief into euphoria. There are a number of books out on that. I couldn't give you any names at the moment, but I think that's one of the most important things is this recognition and acceptance that we really are immortal, something we talk about, but we don't necessarily believe in. We talk about dead people still surviving, but they're somehow really not there. There's nothing spooky about any of this. This should be normal, and it used to be normal until 500 BC.
Oh no!
Then it was forbidden. Yeah. It was all over the ancient Near East.
Whose idea was that?
It had to do with Jewish reforms, and because the dead were referred to as Elohim or gods, it was knocked out of the Yahweh cult. Jehovah cult.
It was knocked out of the my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and that's how it came into Christianity as a sin and all of this sort of stuff. And we are just turning this around in the last 20 years. So people think of it as spooky or icky or macabre or whatever it is. It's great. Dead people are fun and they're always full of surprises. Not all of them are in great shape, but most of them are in much better shape than we are.
Wow.
So having said that, the procedures that I teach are rather general. The force of emotion, genuine emotion. If you're screamingly angry at somebody for the way that person died or the things that were not said, proceed from the anger. It doesn't matter what the emotion is. Proceed to make contact with your truest and deepest emotion. When you do that, that works like a beeper. When you suppress it, you go nowhere. When you do that, you emit enzymes, you emit hormones. Believe it or not, all of these things are exchanged with other dimensions, those dimensions that we call the afterlife, which is, by the way, a word that I think is totally wrong.
Of course.
Yeah. So proceed with your emotions. Focus. It's not going to be something that you will achieve in the beginning with just curiosity. It's going to be coming from a need. That need becomes almost irresistible to anyone out there. Set your intentions that you're doing this for your good and for the good of the person who has passed. Therefore, you won't get any sort of interdimensional smog coming in. You'll have a more constructive time. Sit alone or with a friend in the dark. Set your intentions. Call that person, locate your emotion, and then start talking directly to them. There's a certain point when, when you're talking to somebody and that person is making all the right gestures, nodding their heads and stuff, but you know that there's no real connection. They're not really listening. And then there's a certain point where suddenly they pay attention. You can feel that. I call it an in feeling, being in feeling. Wait till you get that in feeling. You will get pictures in your mind of that person. The difference between the picture in your mind and looking at an old photo in your mind or a memory in your mind, that picture will move and it will convey information.
Wow.
And once you have that picture in your mind, speak to it. Don't try to find dead people around you, outside of you. If you should see that or should hear a voice, it will not last as long as it would once you internalize it and look inside of your mind's eye.
Wow, that is so fascinating. It's very similar to what Craig Hogan teaches in his induced afterlife connections. If you go to afterlifeinstitute.org, you can find his instructions.
Yeah, I know. Well,
but just telling people listening, you it's amazing. I hear from people frequently who are having great success with what he does, and it happens in your mind. Effectively, what Julia is saying and what Craig says is, that's where it all happens. We tend to think these things are outside ourselves, but they're really not. And I think that once you understand that, you open up much more to these experiences, which are internal. And you do workshops on this too, right? To teach people how to do this?
I've done afterlife workshops all over the States and certainly here in Europe.
The thing about chapter 16, and that's where to turn when you first buy her book, the rest of it's wonderful, but I was just blown away by the fact that she is teaching people to do this individually without a medium, and that is just breathtaking. Tell us a little bit about what may have happened in some of your workshops. You said that you have 100% success rate with parents who've lost children.
No, just general. General. They're,
everybody just, who works your workshops.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Even when I do it in German, which is awful. It's so hard. Anyway, it's such a hard language. It's my seventh language to study, and it's the worst of the seven. But anyway.
Some of the people don't even speak anymore, right? Some of them were very ancient languages.
Always skeptical when they first come in, these 4-hour workshops or whatever.
Yeah.
And I get them so whipped up. And by the end of it, their eyes are rolling. They've been sobbing because they have met the person they came to meet. I can't tell you what that's like to stand in a room. Sometimes I just cry. When I see it, just stand in a room, and you can feel the presence of the dead very often if you're not just doing straight information transfer stuff. If they really approach, it's like goosebumps all over your body or energy pouring into you. I can actually monitor that with a certain device out of Russia that I have here. I'm hoping someday to prove this. Yeah. So. And they start to feel this opening up. It opens your heart up, this flood of energy that comes in because their field has moved condensed in front of you. It's gotten thick enough to feel. And that happens. That has to do with our emotions. That has to do with the sharing of our enzymes, our hormones, our electromagnetic fields. It gives them a way to approach. And it's gorgeous. I've seen it happen in so many workshops, a person standing there feeling skeptical, and suddenly, wham, someone showed up. And you can see it going all through their bodies, and you know that person will never be the same again.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah. It's gorgeous, gorgeous.
Now, do you list these workshops where on your website, where they are and when they're going to be?
Yes. Well, they're all here in Austria now. I'm so socked in here.
How do you get you to come back to the U.S., for heaven's sake?
I'd love to. Truthfully, I've loved it. It's like swimming upstream all the time, living in Europe.
Oh, my. Well, we'll get you back here. But what is your website, just in case people are more curious about
it's
this?
It's not very imaginative. It's www.juliaasante.com.
A-S-S-A-N-T-E. Yes.
Yeah. Julia Asante is one word.
Okay. Yeah. Now, one of the things that you feel strongly about, and it's even part of the title of your book, is helping people to escape the fear of death. Talk to us about that.
there is no doubt in my mind that what's ruling us is the fear of death. We are manipulated by it all the time. Companies, institutes. I can't think of anything outside of mathematics, music, and art that don't operate with a fear of death as a sales point.
Wow. Yes.
And I'm talking anthropology. I'm talking history. When you think of the Iron Age, it had nothing to do with little iron plates. That's all about weapons. Our whole idea of early man, Darwin, Darwin was a very sloppy scientist, and his whole idea of what we are, very sloppy, pathetic, and very imperialistic mentality. And his whole idea of who we are really was about us being killers to survive.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. So surviving is more important than love and altruism, than cooperation. Surviving is everything. That means fear of death is everything.
It's been my experience that fear of death is the base fear. And when people no longer fear death, you really no longer fear anything, not even the mortgage payment. It's really surprising.
You're liberated. You become much more authentic. You take many more risks. So one of the things I always ask my new workshop people when they come in for the first weekend is, how many of you want to have a bigger life?
Yeah.
How many of you are living just to be safe, doing what you do just to be safe? And then I say, so you can have a nice, safe death.
Oh, Lord. That's pretty depressing.
And then they realize,
unfortunately.
Yeah. So the end of these big 10-month cycle workshops, we do our deaths. And I have a special workshop for that. Living your death, I call it. And that's when you lie on your deathbed in this life and you look back on your life as it was lived to see where it is you missed the fulfillment and why. Because we don't see it. We're too conditioned to live in this fear and to live for a sense of safety. And it's killing us.
But it's your insight that if we can conquer the fear of death in the population, what will that do to
change
the world?
Everything.
Change everything.
Yeah. The legal system, death penalties, any sort of punishment, the sense of freedom when you understand that you don't have to wait to die to be immortal. The sense of freedom is tremendous. Your sense of potency just escalates. Ability to reach other dimensions escalates because you are now part of that. Your transcendent self has been activated here on Earth.
I see that in people who do this work. When they really get it, our minds are eternal.
Right.
Don't you see them just open up and be joyous about everything in their life? I mean, I love being old. I think if I were afraid to die, I would be the most depressing thing in the world to be old.
I think if we didn't have this fear, there'd be almost no pain in the death process. I think pain has so much to do with resistance.
Yes.
It's everywhere. Think of the medical industry and entertainment industry. It's all about the fear of death.
One of the things, as I went through your book getting ready to do this, and the book is wonderful. What's great about reading this book is it's all sort of sparkly. You know, sometimes you read books that are like lying on the page and you've got to read them like words. Well, this one just keeps giving you sparkles. I just loved it.
Thank you.
But one of the things you talked about was that the afterlife is not a place. There is no place. So could you talk about that? Explain that, please, because I said, what? But you can explain it better than I can.
Well, certainly afterlife is a big improvement over heaven and hell.
Yes.
All right. So we're making some progress.
Right.
But when we say that, who we are as dead people, we already are. We live really in simultaneous time. The afterlife gives the suggestion that all dead people go to this place.
Right.
all together, and they're all dead people. And it used to be that animals weren't there. The animals had animal heaven. This is all nonsense.
Nonsense, right.
Yeah. Basically, you are, as you are here, in a reality of your own making. It doesn't mean that there isn't connections, people coming together. It's extraordinarily flexible in these dimensions. But a person can, say, die and go into a mathematical dimension or a musical dimension. They're specially developed type people, but it does happen. And I have had contact with people like that. I've had contact with people who appear as electrical, not as a human.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. It's unbelievable. And they see me that way.
Oh, my. That's amazing.
Who's to say that in these dimensions there are not other beings who are not dead in our terms? And the whole question of what dead means is something that I am more and more exploding with my ideas about reincarnation.
Yes, we're going to get to that. That's the
real
question.
And also, you know, that your future incarnations can intrude on your life now.
Yes.
Your future selves can influence and intrude in your life now. I've done readings where people who are not even born yet, conceived yet, show up. People who are from past lives or future lives show up. So we have to start breaking all of this down of a before and after, breaking all this down of the idea that everyone gets herded into an afterlife. Because just not the way it is.
Yes, we are vastly powerful. And it all happens essentially. You can't really talk about place. If you talk about place, it's all happening in the same place. That's why it can happen in your mind so easily. Your mind is really an eternal mind of which it's a part. It's all that exists. Nothing is physical.
Roberta, you know, there isn't. Everything that we perceive is an interpretation of electrical impulses. That's it. What you taste, what you see, what you smell is an interpretation that the brain makes.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, in fact, I read somewhere that less than 20% of what we think we see actually comes through our eyes. The rest, I guess, is all made up in our minds. Isn't that amazing?
Or it's done with what I call protobiological sight.
Well, that's pretty fancy. What is that?
That's the sort of thing that's what I teach. I teach them to use that. That's the sight that blind people see with when they have an out-of-body experience.
Oh, mind sight.
Although, mind sight. It's if we didn't have these inner senses, the eyes would be useless.
Isn't that fascinating? I love that.
It's sort of the consciousness of seeing.
And now we teased a little bit about reincarnation, and I'd like to have you talk about it because your take on reincarnation is different from just about everybody else's, but it looks to me as if it's actually more accurate based on what I understand. I really loved reading that part. We probably don't have time to cover it all in this segment, but I'd like to get started.
What I have in the book was very mild. It wasn't a book about reincarnation. My real ideas are absolutely not ever heard from anyone. And
that's all right. I'd love to hear them. Yeah. Let's pick them here.
Well, first of all, this idea that we have is that you die, you go to the afterlife or you go to heaven, and then this stupid idea that you get trained and talked to until someone decides that you're ready to go back. And so you leave the afterlife. All of that is nonsense. You never vacate the so-called afterlife. We work, all of you, every part of you exists, the four-year-old you, the dead you, exists now. Your transcendent self exists now. Your incarnations in all directions exist now. I have, she was for a long time one of my closest friends. She was an incarnation of me and I of her. And I met this woman. She came to me for a past life reading. And I simply couldn't do it. I sat there for 10 minutes and every past life that I saw was mine. And then we had both 20 years apart an experience with our future incarnation. And I had it 20 years before she did. She told me about it 20 years later that she had this that experience the night before. Next day we talked about it, and she said, and yes, he told me his name is Bernard. It's the same guy I met 20 years before.
Wow.
So, but that, so incarnation is extraordinarily complex.
Very complex. And yes. It all apparently happens simultaneously. There is no time there. And I remember.
And sometimes there's no planning. And sometimes a person really doesn't die between one body and another. They don't go anywhere. So their life plans are exactly the same life plans they had in the body before.
Wow. I remember reading probably 30 or 40 years ago, someone in the early part of the 20th century, and a very advanced being, had said, this was the first inkling I had, it was way more complex. She said, don't think of reincarnation as linear. Think of you as a bucket from which each incarnation is dipped and backed into which each incarnation is poured. Which is a little bit what you're saying too. I mean, obviously that's dumbed down for us because that's not true. But it's like a simile for the complexity of this. There's no time, and it's wow. This is just, it does make your eyes cross, doesn't it, when you really think about it?
Yeah, it's just so beautiful when you think about it. And to be experiencing it is it's a wonder. I love the living in awe. That comes with our work.
Yeah, wow.
What could be better?
And with the fact that we know this stuff now, we didn't know it 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, the fact that you're listening now, none of that is by accident. And that's something that Julie and I have talked about a little bit, and I'd like to have her share some of her thoughts on that with you. Why is it all happening now, and where does it lead in?
Oh, I think it's happening now partly because we're freer from our religious beliefs, for one thing. You know, we're looking in greater areas to the horizon for new spiritual sources. That's just a matter of growing up, religiously speaking.
Yeah,
that's one thing. But if we don't do this, what happens? I think that threat is really well known. Americans in particular are very apocalyptic. I don't believe in an apocalypse. I've never seen one coming.
Yeah, I agree.
But still, that's in us, and we are doing damage to this planet. We are doing damage to ourselves. We have to make these changes. But what people never think of is that stress produces psychic ability. Stressful childhoods often produce either crazy people who are very psychic or psychics who are sort of crazy. That's my generation.
Yes.
And near-death experiences are stress experiences. So they produce these visions. This is instituted, such as 40 days and 40 nights in the desert and fasting, in order to have a holy vision. Yeah. On the other hand, we talked very briefly about all of our perception, what we see, think, feel, thinking, too. All has... It is about interpreting electrical impulses. And when you think about our generation, the last 20 years, what's come up are things like cell phones, internet. We are bombarded with electrical impulses that carry information. And we're becoming more and more sensitive to that. Therefore, as we become more sensitive to this bombardment and this stream of information flow coming to us through electrical impulses, we are also able to read finer and finer levels of realities that are not out there, that are not on another planet. They're intermixed with our own. They are within our own space, within our own bodies. And so I think that... communication technology is the art of our era, and art always seems to propel us forward. And I think this idea of electrical impulses, being able to interpret them faster, to perceive them more quickly, I think that is doing more for us than almost anything else.
Really?
Yes.
Because it's helping us to awaken, to become more aware?
If you think of, Roberta, think of all these other dimensions we'll use after death communication or after life communication. You can also include extraterrestrials if you want.
Yes.
But these dimensions are, or future dimensions, past dimensions, they're spliced in with our own. They're intermixed with our own. And they have their own electrical reality to them. And those realities come with impulses we have not yet been very successful in perceiving. But since we're becoming more and more habituated to reading and absorbing and interpreting electrical impulses, we are able to see finer levels of reality. You can walk out into a field and see a magnificent futuristic cityscape.
Wow. And that's basically in another dimension?
That's right. But it's here.
Wow.
It's here. It's not out there. It's here. Yeah.
I do wish I could do that.
Well, hang out with me. You'll do it.
I'm going to have to go.
Oh, my friends. How do you live with this, Julia? Go out for a walk and, wow, look at that over there. Oh, my God. Yes. But there's a war going on there from the Middle Ages or whatever it is that we seem to run into. It's fun.
See how much fun it is? Because the great thing, the core beautiful secret is that we are indestructible, we're permanent, and nothing can harm us. So right. You can walk right into that. There's nothing to fear. That's what's so beautiful. Each of us, and you point that out in your book, each of us is so infinitely loved. Each of us is the most precious being in the universe. It's the most amazingly joyous thing to even think about.
Right. Right, if you wake up to it. But there are plenty of people who die who don't wake up to that.
Right.
And they need us.
Problems after people die sometimes, which is a great reason why everyone should be learning this technique that you teach and that Craig teaches, so you can be in touch with your loved ones, so you can help them if necessary. And the day will come, please God, before long, when everybody will know the truth while they're alive, and nobody will need that kind of help, because we'll know exactly what's going on, and death will just be fun. Just a fun little transition.
I'd like to mention something about my parents. They were disasters, both of them. They're horrible. They were desperate for me to see who they are now without the fear, as immortal beings. Yeah. They really wanted me to see. You cannot imagine how often they have helped me out, lifted me up. It's the greatest therapy in the world.
Wow.
I'm responding to this other kind of parentage now instead of the one that I had as a child.
But that's another reason to learn to do kinds of connections, because you can even heal relationships with people that you thought were horrible. Because
it can wipe out post-traumatic stress disorder in 5 or 6 seconds.
Wow, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I mention your book again. This is a terrific book, The Last Frontier, Exploring the Afterlife and Transforming Our Fear of Death. I urge you to read it, not for the basic afterlife stuff, but for all the other stuff. Her name is Julia Asante, and she is one of the greatest people living, as far as I'm concerned, certainly in this field. But I love the fact that you keep coming up with all more and more ideas. I we're going to have you back, Julia.
Thank you. Her
website is juliaasante.com. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you really get what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better.
Yes.
Next week, I'm going to be sharing with you a friendship of mine. She's someone very special to me. Kelly Glover is my dearest Austin friend, and she's my only close friend, really, who isn't in some way involved in this work. And when you think about it, friendship is kind of special. It's kind of odd in a way. It's not family. It's totally voluntary. It's free of any obligation beyond just the bliss of connection. And Kelly and I just click. I'm intense and serious in person. A lot of people kind of find me intimidating, I think. But when Kelly and I get together, and we try to do this at least once a month for lunch, we can spend 2 hours talking about absolutely nothing and laughing. It is the most fun. And I said to her the last time we had lunch, you know, I should have you on. What do we talk about? So we decided that we would do this. She is a brilliant singer. And more than that, she teaches singing, and she's created a wonderful, fun app that teaches children how to sing, how to sight sing. And it's taking off. It's turning out to make her rather successful. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about friendship, what it is, what it means, how to maintain it. And we're going to talk about something I really knew nothing about until I met my wonderful Kelly. We're going to talk about the relationship between the races in the United States. It really is time. So please join us. Now, this week, our guest has been Dr. Julia Assange. Dr. Julia is an entirely, Julia Assange, that's a Freudian slip. Assange has been a big word in the United States. Mm-hmm. Dr. Julia Assange. Julia is the entire package. She is a scholar and an exceptionally gifted medium with wonderful psychic abilities. She's one of the very few living people who are actually doing now the work that scientists will be doing in the second half of this century when they finally get a clue and start investigating all this stuff. Her wonderful book is The Last Frontier. I urge you to read it. As I said, it does sparkle. It's just all full of light, happy things and deep things, and it makes you think, and you won't be able to put it down. Read chapter 16 and then start doing those exercises, because that will transform your life. When you can talk to those you used to think were dead as if they were in the room, nothing will be the same for you after that, ever after. Now, as you know, my own nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. And we're now in the process of turning all these books into audiobooks. So if you'd rather listen than read, we're soon going to have you covered on all of these books. If you like reading fiction, I also write that. Chieftain's Maiden and Jack in Love begin a 7-novel series that explores how we can use the central truths we are learning now from people we used to think were dead to advance the development of humankind and to create a peaceful and loving world forevermore. If you have ever wondered what the world would be like if everyone understood that our minds really are eternal, perhaps this series will be for you. And of course, you can find my recent episodes of Seek Reality on bbmglobalnetwork.com. Earlier episodes are being rebroadcast now in several places on Dream Vision 7 Radio and on the X Zone Broadcast Network and its affiliates worldwide at xzbn.net. Seek Reality is also available as a free podcast on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes, so you can find it just about everywhere. For more information about where I'm broadcasting now, if I ever leave here, I don't intend to, I love my dear wonderful engineer, or if you want to read my blog, or if you'd just like to contact me with a question or a comment, just go to robertagrimes.com. I promise I answer every email, and I love hearing from people. So if you feel so inclined, please do that. And I want to thank you again for just being there. What I love most of all is this opportunity that I have to feel that you're on the other end and we're having this conversation. I look forward to it every week. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.